Hopefully my power is good. If it's not, I've got plenty of batteries. So we always look forward to the Kincaids coming to our house. We miss Sister Kincaid, but we were able to visit with Brother Kincaid and Darcy. We went to Santa Cruz. And you know what the greatest joy is to hear him talk about these places he's been. And oh, I used to live over there, and it's history to me is awesome. Amen? Well, it may not be to you, but I like history. I'm going to read something that President Wilson, how many remember President Wilson? Is there anyone here that voted for him? Oh, good. Whereas the 11th of November, 1918, marked the cessation of the most destructive, sanguinary, and far-reaching war in human annals, and the resumption by the people of the United States of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed. And whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of this date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer, and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations, and whereas the legislatures of 27 of our states have already declared November the 11th to be a legal holiday, therefore be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives concurring that the President of the United States is requesting to issue a proclamation calling upon officials to display the flag of the United States on all government buildings on November the 11th, and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools, churches, and other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other people. This is talking about Veterans Day, which was celebrated Monday and really was on Sunday last week. And being our missionary day, we didn't say too much about it, but we do want to honor our veterans. We always want to honor our flag and respect the country that we live in. Way back, now I know no one was around for this, the Mayflower headed to America in 1620. Took about 65 days. They were headed for Virginia. They missed it by Massachusetts. That's where they ended up, in Plymouth, on Plymouth Rock. The voyage took 65 days. They lost half of their people the first winter, and it was a tough go. Can you imagine today we sail on a ship, if one person dies, it's big news. But back then, it was a terrible journey. William Bradford and his wife left their three-year-old back with family because they were afraid that he wouldn't make it. But they took this journey because they wanted a place to worship the Lord. A lot of history today tells us this story and that, and they may not emphasize the fact that they came on a mission for God. Today, we live in a free country, paid for by the blood of our veterans, and established by brave people that wasn't going to be able to check into a Comfort Inn, but actually have to cut down trees and build and grow crops that they weren't used to growing, and eat food that they weren't used to eating. Back home, they had everything. They could go to a store, and there were no stores. They met an Indian, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name. I'm going to practice that for tonight. But he was one that was captured by the explorer John Smith. I think it's John Smith. Anyway, he not only was captured, but he escaped and he learned English. Can you imagine how faithful that was, that when the people from the Mayflower landed, and here was a Native American that spoke English well and was able to translate and help them, you know, with getting settled in. God had a absolute place for our country, and he ordained what we live and enjoy. If you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Excuse me just a second. It seems as though I left my notes somewhere else. No, I did. That's a song. Well, we'll see. We'll see how good my memory is. But I do want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want to start with verse 15. And verse 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will you who occupies the place, how will he rather who occupies the place of the uninformed say, amen. At your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well. And that's my emphasis today. That you indeed give thanks well. But the other is not edified. And Paul says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. I'm going to go to one more verse, verse 39. And verse 39 says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for your power and for the Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring this word across to our hearts and to our lives. We need you today, and we need, Lord, to be thankful. We believe today that we open a door when we thank you for more of your blessings, more of your miracles, more of your power to be set upon each and every one of us. We honor and give you glory. Amen. I really feel strong that thanksgiving is a part of the nature of a Christian. That when we're born again, and when we begin our relationship with the Lord, that we absolutely must be thankful. We must be grateful for all that the Lord has done for us. There's a song that says, it's called My Tribute. And how can I say thanks for all the things that you've done for me? Things so undeserved. And yet you gave your love, I think, to me. And the voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. And then it goes on with, to God be the glory. And indeed, God needs to receive the glory. What I'm speaking to you today, now I spoke this message in 2007 a little differently. I mentioned the lepers. 2007 was November the 19th. I don't know why I was preaching on that night. Someone must have been gone. But last year I preached on the same text as 10 years before about the lepers. And how important it was for at least one leper who was a Samaritan to come back and fall at the feet of Jesus just to show that he was thankful for the freedom and the liberty and the healing. And Jesus, of course, said, "Where are the nine?" Now, I'm not going to get much into that because we used that last year. But this year, I want to come from a different angle. We must be grateful and thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives. There's an old song that says, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." How many is familiar with that? I looked it up on the internet and printed it out. Oh, I had the whole thing for you. But that chorus, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so great or thy great salvation, so rich or so full, according to others, and so free. Thank you, Lord." In order for us to really be thankful for what God has done in our lives, we need to take advantage of every opportunity and every way of giving thanks. How many is good with that? Every way that we can. Now, this scripture almost is a backdoor entrance to being thankful. And by that, I mean that Paul is working very hard to get the Corinthian church to stop preaching, teaching, praying, everything in tongues. They were so carried away with tongues that he was saying, look, when you minister to the congregation, you need to prophesy. You need to prophesy. Verse 2 says in the 14th chapter, "For he who speaks to in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." And verse 4 said, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." And so what I'm saying is, we don't have the problem of the Corinthians. We don't speak in tongues the whole service. And so we've already got our balance. Paul wanted to encourage people not to stop speaking in tongues. And what I want to do today is encourage you to feel the freedom in this church to where if you want to speak in tongues, you do that. And I know I have a guy that he works with me, and I fellowship with him. And he said, you Pentecostals do it all wrong. You're not supposed to speak in tongues in the church. Where did he get that from? Chapter 14. How did he come to understand that? Because he doesn't understand what Paul was trying to emphasize. And his church doesn't believe in speaking in tongues at all. So I've determined to throw out his counsel and look to the Word of God and say, look, when we start our church service and we begin with prayer, you can speak in tongues anytime you want. When we worship and singing and praising God and in any prayer time, you can speak in tongues anytime you want. When we get up to teach, preach, we're going to do that in a language that you understand. But if someone wants to speak in tongues and uplift themselves and bless God, and if the scripture says you do thanks well, that's okay. We used to have a brother that was our pastor for a bit. And he said, well, you can use your heavenly language now. I'm never going to tell you you can use your heavenly language now. What I'm telling you is you can use your heavenly language when the Spirit comes on you and you want to give glory and praise to God. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that when we pray in the Spirit, that we really touch God. We not only touch God, we magnify God. And then here in this scripture, which like I said is like almost a back door to my point, when we give thanks and we're speaking in tongues, we do it very well. I want to do well at giving thanks. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This scripture says, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. How many's ever felt weak? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes if your knee hurts, well, you pray for your knee to get better. If you have something else, you know what's wrong, you pray for that. But what if, you know, you just feel something's out of whack? Lord, I don't know what it is, but you pray in the Spirit. The Spirit knows what you should pray for. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can't understand those things, but the Spirit, verse 27, now He who searches the heart knows the mind of what the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are so connected that when you speak in another tongue, that the Holy Spirit reaches out to God and said, this is what they need. This is what you need to do. Here's how you can help this one that loves you and serves you. And the Holy Spirit will come into our heart and just give us the urge of praying in His power and in an unknown tongue. There was a guy years ago that wrote a wonderful book on speaking in tongues. And he went into churches and he picked out people that were Pentecostal, that were filled with the Spirit. And then he went and found other actors and so forth and had them all do tongues. And he had it recorded with some people that knew about the languages, and they were able to pick out those who were filled with the Holy Spirit and those who were pretending. Kind of the disappointing thing to me is he proved it, and yet he went back to his church that didn't believe in it. And I thought, what? How can you know? Now we know about the power. I just want to bring an encouragement to each and every one of us today. We're free to give thanks well. And I do understand that when we minister, we need to do that in a language that's understood. We don't have the problem that they used to have. You say, why do you think that is? I know exactly why that is. Because the devil doesn't want that in churches, because it becomes a power to the people who exercise. They're praying the will of God, they're giving thanks well, and it's a, if you will, it's like a supercharge to prayer, and it's a good thing. The devil doesn't want us doing that, and so he discourages it. And look at how many churches have bought in to the devil's idea rather than the idea of God. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, and I've used this scripture quite a bit too. But you know what? I'm going to look at Psalms 100. And put your thumb on that page. Now turn back to Philippians. I forgot one I want to read. If I had my notes, I wouldn't have done that. I'm going to hold that one because that one's next. And I've read this one quite a bit. I had actually written it down out of the Amplified Bible to kind of camouflage it so it would seem a little different to you, but we're going to have to go with the New King James. That's the Bible I've got. And it's verses Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And the scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe that the thanksgiving seasons blesses and enhances our prayer. When you know what you need, the Amplified Bible says, keep making your specific requests. In other words, some people believe that God's not going to do anything for you specifically, but He'll bless you if you pray for the whole world. God will bless you if you pray for the whole world, but God will also bless you if you ask Him for a specific need that you have. And oh, what a testimony you will have when the Lord answers that specific need, amen? And God brings healing and strength and miracles. So when we pray, when we bring our petition, let's bring thanksgiving as a part of that. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him praise. Let's honor the name of the Lord our God. There's so many songs that we sing. And I'm telling you, the Lord laid on my heart, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I know it's an old song. We've sang that since I was a kid. Maybe some of you that are a bit older sang it when you were a kid. But thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. And that, as we pray, as we seek the Lord, we need to do it with thanksgiving. Let's turn to Psalms 100, and it teaches us how to go to church. What to do when you get there. And the scripture says in verse 1, make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Aren't you glad Debbie's happy? I am. Now look, sometimes we who are happy, you can tell. I used to get in a lot of trouble going to work in Texas with Matt and Bobby and some of the others. They'd say, you're too happy too early. You need to knock off that singing. We're not ready to hear it. Now those guys, I couldn't help they woke up grouchy. I was glad to be alive up, and we had plenty of work, so why not be happy? And why not sing if you're happy? Back then I could sing reasonably and loud. What I didn't make up with quality, I made up with loud, right? And verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. Aren't you glad you didn't make yourself? I would have made a mess. I would have wanted to do better, but I would have failed. I remember my math teacher came in during a test and he said, oh, I've got good news. He said, all of the mythology gods, Roman, Greek, whatever, they have an issue. He said, even Superman is subject to kryptonite. He said, and you know what that tells? I just read this. That shows that all of those people were made up by other people. All those gods were made up by other people. And he said, our God has no faults, has no imperfection, and that just goes to show we didn't invent Him. He made us. Can you imagine that in a math class? You don't even hear that in church, some churches. But thank God, He made us. We're His people. He is God. So verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. How do we go to church? We're thankful. We're thankful. When I was in Kentucky as a little boy, we went to this was not a fancy church. The Baptist down the street had a nice church. They had nice hardwood and beautiful pews. We had some sort of benches, but our floor had holes in it to where you could see down under. And it was cold when it was cold, and it was hot when it was hot in that place. It wasn't very fancy, but we had a bell. And 10 minutes before church, they'd ring the bell. And there was a little community all around the church, and people would start walking down. And that was kind of neat. I remember one time we had a service and we had strangers. Someone was slain in the spirit and the strangers got up. I mean, they were right up like this looking down at them. Are they dead? And I was 4 or 5 years old. And I thought, are you kidding me? They're not dead. They're slain in the spirit. They'll get up. They'll be fine. Why? Because that's what I was subject to. I was used to seeing people slain in the spirit. It was no big deal. All that was Pentecost to me was a normal thing. People came and they were happy to be able to go to church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, when you're around Brother Kincaid for any amount of time, you're going to learn this. God is good. God is good. All the time, God is good. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and truth endures to all generations. So why should we be thankful? Because we serve a good God. And we thank him for saving our soul. We thank him for making us completely whole. And for giving to us this great salvation. So that we can sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And that's where I quit because I forgot the rest of it. But most of you are thinking those next words and I'm jealous. But thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. And this is my Thanksgiving message. We should be thankful every way we can. And when you speak in an unknown tongue, the Lord is, through your body, using your members to call out the things that you need, that you're praying in ways that you don't understand. It's a mystery indeed. But the scripture says we're edifying ourselves, we're building ourselves up. Building up your most holy faith, speaking in an unknown tongue. Building yourself up. And there's nothing wrong with that at times. When we preach, we'll preach. We'll preach in English or whatever language. But when we worship, we'll worship in the freedom of the Spirit of God. And when we're speaking in an unknown tongue, we may well give thanks very well. It is well with my soul. Praise God. We're going to pray. Debbie, would you come? And then I'm going to pray for Sister Watson and Brother Henry. You say, well, you do that almost every Sunday. I'm going to keep doing it. Because I want God to intervene. I want God to intervene. I want God's help. If I could heal Brother Henry and Sister Watson would run the aisles. And I would follow them because I'd want that. But God is the healer. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word and we're thankful for your people. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless your word to the hearts and lives of your people and that you'll strengthen us as a body. We are your church. You've not forgotten about us. You know exactly where we're at. You have tremendous blessings ahead for us. And Lord, we look to miracles of your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you will send us a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Put the shout in our heart. Lord, you're able to minister great hope and great power. We pray for our country. Oh, we're in real need of grace. I pray, Lord, for a unified country. I pray against what we see and the division. I pray against that, and I pray that we'll come together as a country. Lord, that our state that is upside down in so many ways will get right side up. Help those that are facing tragedy with the fires. Lord, we pray that you'll put the fire out. You can send a rain. Send it a bit earlier than Wednesday. Let it put out the fire. We ask for the miracle of your hand. The miracle of your hand. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, touch Sister Watson. Mercy, oh God. Mercy for her. Yalara makoria larara masandai. Ila makoria ndaleredia. By your Holy Spirit. By your Holy Spirit. Yalala masandai, in the name of Jesus. And we claim the blood of Christ as our victory. And Lord Jesus, your cross is our victory and your resurrection power right now. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us right now. Resurrection, restoration, mercy in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Brother Henry, your mercy in Jesus' name. Your mercy. Give him strength in his body, Lord. Every part of him, Lord. You've made us whole spiritually. And I pray, Lord, for a miracle of physical strength and healing. Lord, every day for Brother Henry, let him be stronger. Your mercy, Holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that would like prayer for anything, anything, anything? My God can do anything, amen? Anything? Someone want prayer here? Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Joyce today. Your mercy and your power in her life right now. Let your spirit, Lord, minister to her. Your grace is sufficient, Lord. Your word has given us victory. And we pray in the name of Jesus for your touch today. Lord, you're able, Lord, to minister. Your very present help. And we honor you, Lord, for your touch. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Anyone else? Holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. I believe the Lord is going to touch us in great ways as we come before him with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. Oh, we'll know that this is a day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to be glad in it. I wish life didn't have so many bumps. I wish it was smooth sailing, but I'm sure thankful that every bump that we face, we have a God that is standing with us, going over the bumps with us, carrying us when we're too weak to go on. Lord Jesus, as a congregation today, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for a wonderful country that we live in. Lord, we know our country needs you. We know that we need revival, but we have freedom. We're able to gather here in this wonderful church, and we're able to give you praise and glory. We're able to gather as often as we want to. And Lord, we have no resistance around us. We pray, Lord, that you'll open the door to many souls being born again into this kingdom, into this place where you're loved and where we love one another. And I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to your people. We thank you for grace, mercy. We pray your strength as our day is. Lord Jesus, we're... Thank you.